Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through on Golden Spiral. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 91, Adaptation Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we will be covering Season 9, Episode 9, which is titled Adaptation. So, it's been a while.
Definitely.
Yeah, both of us have been busy podcasting. I've been, unless you've been living under a rock, do another podcast called the Star Trek Discovery Podcast. And I've been podcasting about Star Trek Discovery. So, I encourage you guys that have been listening to us, if you're into Star Trek at all, if you're one of those people that has been like, oh, CBS, don't want to pay that, you know, just give up your mocha frappuccino latte one a month and just get it. I'm telling you, it's a great show. And season two has been more excellent than the prior season. But yeah, Ruthie and I have been podcasting on that. She actually missed the last episode. But she's back with me podcasting on that, and that's what I've been up to. Of course, I've also been dealing with moving and all of that. So it's we're moved in, but still getting settled. So, Mark, what about you? You've been busy with Panels of Pixels, I know.
Oh, definitely. We did a couple of movie reviews within the winter break, and we started our review pretty much of Punisher season two. So we're in the middle of doing that right now.
John Bernthal.
Yeah. And then eventually we're going to be going into more of the actual Marvel movies once they come out, because Steve and I have been going to the movies.
Good.
That's not good. Together though.
Yeah. Well, but, and this will segue right into what I was about to say. You saw Steve, finally met him for the first time, right? In Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah, he came to visit with a couple of other Zed heads from our Patreon through Podcastica. And they stayed the weekend for Walker Stalker, New York, New Jersey. And we were able to go to the con together. We actually went into Manhattan together. But with that, I was able to get Nadia Hilker to call out and do our intro.
Yeah, so look at that. Mark has been able to get two TWD cast members this season. Shout outs for.
Yeah, my aim is in March to go see Carrie Payton at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and see if he'll do the same.
Ah, and he would do a great one because he's got a great voice.
Yes.
All right. So, anyway, it's good to be back. Good to be podcasting with you again, Mark.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so Season 9, Episode 9, Adaptation, written by Corey Reed and directed by Greg Nicotero. So let's get it all started now. What did you think of Adaptation?
Well, I gave it 9 out of 10 whispers killed under a closed bridge.
And I thought that this was appropriate. Good old Eugene came up with a nice one. He said, well, I'll use it for just to say 8 chunky salsas of abnormal impulses and metastasized rage. And that's one of those ones. It's like, Is there a person that would actually say that in real life?
I would believe no.
I believe no. All right. So we've got some listener ratings. Why don't you get started, Mark?
Well, Steve says 8 out of 10 of Wandering Judith Grimes.
James, who I'll give him a shout out here. James is has been a longtime listener of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. And I didn't even know that you watched The Walking Dead, James. What took you so long? But anyway, he says, I'm giving this episode 7, and I'll just let Judah say it.
Language. I'm a kid, asshole.
That's so cute.
Yep.
We continue, and Diana says, I give this episode 8 out of 10 possible Negan butt grabs.
Negan butt grabs? I totally missed that.
Same here.
Yeah. What butt did Negan grab, or...
Does she want to grab Negan's butt?
I don't know. You'll have to explain that one, Diana. And I didn't get a chance to listen to Aim for the Head this week yet, so maybe you explain it on there. But Diana from Aim for the Head. Hi, Diana. Dieta says, I give this episode 8 out of 10. Welcome back to TWD Sundays. Yes, or should I say, and I have to switch soundboards to say this.
Yes!
Glennis gives it 8 out of 10 Colt Python points at Negan.
And last one is Ken from Chicago, and I just put all of what he said in the rating because this is all I saw. I'm going to have to go back and check that, though, because the last couple times when I said your rating, Ken, on the Star Trek podcast, I missed part of it, so I'm going to go back and look. But anyway, 7 out of 10, stolen compasses by an old thief that apparently only one precocious child can see and hear, who herself reinforces TWD's history of poor parenting. Hashtag, put a bell on her. That's a good one, Ken.
That is.
All right, so let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
All right. We only got a couple from listeners this time.
All right. So Dieta says, of course, little Judith toting around that big old gun and tracking down Negan. You're not going to shoot me, Judith? Yeah, I will.
Glynis, she says, kind of in general, she says, Judith and Negan interaction was great. There be no getting the better of Judith by Negan. Yeah, I thought that was... secondly, she says, the Whisperers trapping Luke and Alden was great, plus the encounter on the bridge with Michonne and Daryl, and Daryl's way of identifying a human from a walker was great. All suspenseful. Yeah, in fact, I had that in my Awesome Sauce as well. I really liked how he did that. At first, I looked at it, and I thought, what's going on with Daryl's aim? And then we actually see it, and it's like, oh, that's, he's intentionally doing that. That's brilliant. So I really like that. And I also like from that, Michonne, when the second Whisperer tried to, you know, go at her with a knife, she just cut off that dude's hand before she like gutted him. She like just cut off his hand, and you see it actually, if you watch it closely enough, you see the hand like just fly to the side. Anyway, I thought that was good.
That was cool.
All right. You've got some awesome sauces here.
Yeah. Basically, the show taking place just after the mid-season finale, right after it. So it's the same night, same encounter, but they just continue on. It just takes us right back where we left off. And I love when we get these kind of segues. There's no time jump. Thank goodness. And the next would be Negan's new arc in the show. He's not the man he was years before. He's only a shadow of himself, but different.
Yeah.
It seems like they're changing his character arc, and it's very similar to the comic, but I'm not going to go into it. But I'm seeing them molding Negan into something new, which is pretty cool. And definitely with all the Easter eggs in this episode, Negan's encounter with the dead in the car, which was similar to Merle back in the day during the redemption that he had when he was bringing Michonne to see the governor. And the fact that Negan gets sick at the same site where Negan killed Abraham and Glenn in the premiere of the season 7.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating when Nick Terrell said that on Talking Dead, because I didn't pick up on it, but seeing it like play back and like looking for the scene, I'm like, oh, wow, that was cool.
Yeah. And then the only other couple that I have would be Luke coming into his own, helping Alden out. But with hope comes tragedy. I think they will both be on a – not going to say it, but it's, you know, due to non-comic fans. But the music for Negan and his encounter with the dead, it was such a very Western, and I just love – my ear is always drawn to music whenever I watch a show and what it encounters and how it engages certain scenes. And they did that very well in the very beginning of the episode. Negan, when he was alone and going through and dealing with what's left of his food and getting sick from the drink, from the water, from the river. And then, of course, him dealing with, you know, Judith. And I thought it filled out and worked best for each scene.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixture of Western and that quintessential Negan tone that kind of, I don't know if that's a guitar or, I don't know, what is that sound that you always hear?
It's weird.
Like, it's kind of reverby and...
It sounds like somebody beating up something in a back in a rhythmic form, and they're just using echo.
Well, I definitely hear that whenever Negan's around that tone, and I heard that here, but it was kind of shorter, and it's kind of, I got a similar sense of Negan turning back and turning into something, you know. So as far as my awesome sauces, they've already been stated, so I don't have anything else to say. All right, so let's move on to the week variety. I haven't had a chance to play this in a long time, and I'm...
You're worthless and weak!
Twisted Sister! All right.
Well, Glennis says... Alden's spear when he's on the horse is ready to skewer him.
Yeah, I noticed that too, kind of. And I thought it was a little bit weak that you see him throw that spear at a walker, mm-hmm. and it just looked like, given the speed that it was going, it wasn't going to be strong enough for the walk to actually penetrate the walker. I just saw it and thought, yeah, that would just bounce off him, or would hit in a certain angle that, you know, it wouldn't actually, like, go through.
Yeah. Unrealistic.
I thought so. Dieta says, Negan finding another leather jacket just his size. Really? And I think I got to check this. Yeah, hold on a second. All right, well... There were some comments there that could have been weak sauce, but they weren't stated as such, so we'll to go to our own sauce. What do you have, Mark?
That whole Eugene eavesdropping scene, it was just too cheesy, and it was a callback to that episode when we see Eugene do that with Rosita and Abraham, get it on while you watch from the self-help section of the library.
I hadn't thought of that.
But- just another Easter egg. But, and then the Whisperer Girl was too afraid, honestly. Not something with what I know from the comic, but this is a different show now. The source material is still there, just being twisted a bit for the show, I believe. So, makes me think that she will be a goner in the future, unless they change her character arc in some way in the show. So
when you say she was too afraid.
Yeah.
See, I didn't get that, but I don't know, maybe. I thought it was all an act.
Nah, it seemed to me like she was genuinely afraid.
Maybe at the end she was with Daryl. But I have to say that just in terms of a character, I'm not going to judge her acting as a character. I am not too sympathetic of Lydia so far. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, not many people are.
Yeah. Well, I had a a couple of weak sauces, and this, I know my wife, if she's, you know, she doesn't watch, but if she did, she would probably say something about this. The dogs that they used were not realistic. Some of them had crop tails. Particularly the one that I thought was not realistic was the Cagne Corso. The Cagne Corso was the one that had cropped ears. Now, normally they do crop the ears of a Cagne Corso. That's that dog that kind of looks like a pit bull. It's not, by the way, but it's an Italian dog, I believe. But it's anyway, they typically do crop their ears. And they may even crop their tails. Not 100% sure of that, but this dog was cropped, had a cropped tail and cropped ears. And what is unrealistic about that is you have to remember that they're about in 2020 or 2021 at this point. Mm-hmm. Like 10 or 11 years have passed. So are you telling me that this dog is 10 or 11 years old? I don't think so. I don't think so. Or, you know, someone in the zombie apocalypse cropped a Cagne Corso dog. Not realistic at all. So
yeah, the Whisperers have some dogs that they care for, and they send them out.
Yeah. The other thing I thought is had to do with Tammy Rose. She's basically a one-note character. And I don't know if they did this to remind us, since, you know, it's been a few months since the show has been on, but she had that same, you know, we want justice again that she had before. Very one-note, I thought. And there were – and you have AMC Premiere, I know. You watched the extended version, right?
Yeah, but I didn't see anything different.
There wasn't much different, but what I thought was – well, what was different is the scene where they were bringing back Jesus, you know, because – Jesus is dead. Poor Jesus.
Yeah, but he hugged me at the Walker Stalker Con.
Ah, you better. Well, anyway, with Jesus being gone – you know, they show the reactions of people. And I was trying to remember what character did they bring back that was a similar kind of thing? Who the heck it was? It wasn't – so they didn't bring back Carl to – who the heck was it that they brought back? It might not have been the Hilltop, but I remember there was a character they brought back, and they did all these like looks of sad faces and that. And do you remember who it was?
I can't recall.
Can't recall either. But
that was in the beginning of the season, though, right?
It was. Yeah, I think it was. It was either at the beginning of the season or it was last season. But I can't recall who it was right off the top of my head. Anyway, it was a similar kind of thing, and we see all these characters and these Hilltop residents, and half of them you didn't know. And in the extended scene, they had more of those characters, and that's probably why it was extended, because it just didn't look right. The one that they left was a reaction of a mother with her kids, and there may have been a couple other ones, but that was the most, you know, promising or not pros, most, it, most
engaging,
most blatant, okay. Of most obvious of that. But I just thought that while they all look sad, they weren't crushed like I would have expected. It didn't hit as hard as, you know, some of the other deaths that, you know, we've seen, like if you think of Beth coming out of the hospital, for example, and the reaction that came out of that, you know, that was devastating to people. And Jesus's death was just like, oh, Jesus is dead. Well, yeah, that's really sad.
Oh yeah, another one. It happened again.
Yeah.
But mind you, this was the first in how long, too, according to them.
Well, yeah, which that's true.
You would think this would be extremely devastating. How did this happen? What's going on? But no.
Yeah, and then, you know, Tammy Rose, again, was the one asking those questions. But it's just, again, it was, I thought it was once it was the same character. And that's the only time you ever hear from her.
Well, it's almost similar to Carol back in the day from the first two seasons.
Yeah, true. True.
Yeah. If you think about it, she was constantly whining about the kids. Like, she was whining about Sophia. Oh, you got to find Sophia. And it was like, a lot of people, I'll just kill her now. I had a few friends like that.
That's cold, man. That's cold.
But she grew to be a good character.
She did. All right. So let's move on to What Sauce. And normally we used to play the Sad Sauce. I've moved the What Sauce up specifically for this week. This may be permanent. This may be temporary. What sauce?
What?
And there was something that Glynis had in the what sauce, but because of what she said, I'm holding it back the news section. So it's just us. So you've got a what sauce?
Yeah. Why would Daryl leave the mask and the knife after taking the Whisperer Girl from the bridge? Never leave anything behind to be tracked with. What are they, crazy?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's a tracker.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it makes you wonder. Okay, so I had a few things. Since when does Daryl have a skull tattoo in his right hand?
Yeah, well, something that the producers did not allow years ago, and this was during the Darabont era, and they were extreme about not having tattoos being shown on TV because they thought it was too distracting within the show for the viewer and not to pay attention to what's going on. I guess they changed that, their thought on it. By the way, that is Norman Reedus's logo for a big bald head company for his artwork.
Yeah, it's funny. After you said that, I looked it up and like, oh, yeah. Negan should know better than to drink unfiltered, unboiled water. What was he thinking? Rosita Preggers from Sadiq? I have to say,
it's not true. That's impossible.
Do we have like a love quadrangle or rhombus or squares?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll go into that later. But the funny thing is, Rosita does get around.
That seems that way. And the last thing, going back to what Daryl said to Henry, Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead? I'm thinking of how Henry reacted. It's like, what?
He's dead, Jim.
Yeah, he's dead, Jim. There. All right, so sad sauce.
Aww.
And we didn't get any sad sauces this episode from anyone, but we have our own.
I'll go. So it was really sad to see Negan come to this kind of person. His arc seems to be wanting to be part of something. He went back to Alexandria because there is nowhere else for him to go. He just wants to go back to his cell. So I guess they broke him.
Yeah, and I gave away my first sad sauce because I didn't say it right, but I'll just say it again. Jesus is dead.
It is sad. Trust me. I really wanted more from Jesus.
We want more from Jesus. I'm not going to be able to use this anymore. I knew I could use it this one week, but after this, how am I going to be able to use
it? Whenever his name gets brought up.
Yeah, I guess. Negan passing the walker over to the doggies. Now, mind you, the doggies weren't all that nice. Now, were they? It reminded me of that Fear episode, the season 2, episode 8, the one where Nick is just walking, and basically walks all the way to Tijuana. Grotesque. And then, of course, from this show, season 5, episode 10, Them. And that's the one where Sasha grills up a smorgasbord of tasty wild dogs.
They all ate them.
I know. I thought that poor Eugene won't get his girl and has to hear about the pregnancy from outside the window. I thought that was kind of sad for him. I felt bad for him. Aaron and Michonne's dueling apologies, I thought that they were kind of sad in a way. Them having to, like, Aaron having to admit that Michonne was right about kind of being isolationist. And I thought to myself, on the last watch I did, it's like, oh, I guess the kingdom is basically SOL. Because they're like, oh, you know, the hilltop has everything they need. We have Alexandria has everything we need, or we have everything, but they didn't mention the kingdom, and that's probably because the kingdom is either going to fall or they're going to have to move into one or both of the places. But it doesn't sound too good. We don't hear anything about Oceanside either.
Nope, not. I have a funny feeling we're going to get that within the next few episodes, and I have to add to my sad sauce because Aaron, yeah, he seemed really disturbed and upset.
He did. Yeah, maybe the Oceanside crossed the everybody else. You know, because X sparks the spot. If you know what I mean, I have no confirmation of that, but the fact that they didn't get mentioned just in that section makes me wonder if the Oceansiders were the ones that made those X's on Michonne.
Possibly.
Yeah. Also, and I saw this mentioned, actually, I guess Dieta mentioned it, and I think we have something in the feedback about it. You know, Negan gets another leather jacket, and you know, a lot of people had an issue with that, but I mean, if it's a clothing store, and you know, he's not in a difficult size to fit, so I don't really find it that unrealistic that he would find a leather jacket. You know, if he were me trying to find a 3X leather jacket, yeah, that would be unrealistic. It's hard to find them as it is. But the thing that I thought that was sad was basically we see a bunch of mannequins in the store, and it seemed like there was a guy who camped out in the store and I guess had done like a castaway with Wilson in Castaway and used the mannequins as like something to talk to so he wouldn't go crazy. But I guess it didn't work because he blew his brains out.
Yeah, or he just wanted an audience.
Jeez. that's pretty macabre. Anyway, yeah. So so I thought that was sad. All right, so that's it for our sauces, so let's move on to the feedback.
We can talk about it. Done talking. Time to listen.
All right, and our first bit of feedback is from Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve. I just have one real quick note from adaptation. I liked the episode. I enjoyed the episode, I guess, is the best way to say it. But I don't understand why, you know, as badass as she is and as tough as she is, why she's an 8-year-old girl or six. No, she's like 7 years old. Why is she just wandering around willy-nilly in the camp, out of the camp, kind of wherever she wants to go? I mean, I guess I understand she's the kid of Rick Grimes, but still, shouldn't somebody be assigned to like keep an eye on her or something? Anyway, that's just my thought, and wanted to send it out to you guys real quick. Talk to you later.
Well, the reaction that I had, I think I already mentioned it about when it is in the zombie apocalypse. It's because I mentioned it with the dogs. I think it's actually in the story. I think it's either 2020 or 2021. And if that's the case, 10 or 11 years have passed, which would make Judith probably about 10. So I don't think she's seven. But besides that, yeah, the fact is she is wandering around. So I can't say too much against that.
Well, you can't keep those Grimes kids in the house anyway. I do agree, though. She is definitely 10. She's definitely the age of Carl at the time when it started. So, and we are looking at something in the future.
Yes. All right. We have something from James.
Well, James says, "Hi, Brian. I figured I'd finally join the group and take up the talk through. My love for TWD has been reinforced this season. I watched faithfully through the quagmire and monotony of season 7 and 8 to get what so far is a pretty good payoff this season. This mid-season premiere was a bit slow at times, but I think it's definitely setting up for confrontation with the Whisperers and Hilltop / Alexandria / Oceanside. I'm enjoying the on-screen evolution of Negan. He's definitely humbled and realizes that he needs people to survive, and I believe he's starting to realize that his old ways aren't going to work and that he's going to have to be a follower instead of a dictator. Do I smell redemption arc for the once big daddy?"
Big wow. Daddy.
Well, it's, he could be big daddy too.
Again, James, and by the way, I didn't forget. Steve, you get your showcase award. And I won't give you a showcase award, James, just because the first time, but I will say, and it's good to, like I said, I didn't even know you watched the show, so it's good to have you contribute on this podcast as well. James is one who actually helps with the collecting all the feedback for Star Trek. So again, James, good to hear from you here. And you forgot to mention the kingdom. Sorry. Kingdom. Don't know when it changed, but somehow the got dropped. So anyway, my take on it, and I didn't really get into it when I talked about it at the start of the episode, but I gave it an 8. I gave it an 8 because I couldn't really find any major faults in the episode, but I'd say it was fine. I liked it, but I certainly didn't love it. There wasn't anything really to love in this episode. It was all set up, and it wasn't all that tense. I mean,
nope.
It was all kind of intro to the Whispers, but there wasn't anything intense or like big action or anything like that.
The buildup was there throughout the first half and us knowing that these people are coming. So yeah. I think the buildup was kind of like, oh, okay, they're here now. So,
yeah. So I just thought that it was a little weak in that. So it was just fine. You know, it didn't hit a home run, and I kind of needed it to hit a home run for me. I wanted to come out of this episode like being really excited about, you know, podcasting about this show, and I really didn't feel like I got it. I thought that the first half was really good, but there was just something, I don't know if it was just because it was a setup episode, but you would expect a mid-season premiere to have a little more, I thought.
Yeah.
So okay, that's my take on it. Todd, he's next. He says, "I can't shake this idea. If there was ever to be a Green Arrow movie or a Green Arrow cameo in the DC Extended Universe movie, they need to cast Norman Reedus for that." Todd is always good with his off-the-wall observations. Makes me wonder what Todd is like as a guy. Anyway, thanks for your feedback, as usual.
Well, Cutter says, "She let him go, and he came back. I love how Negan gets loose, goes back to the sanctuary, only to realize that he really traded a small cell for a big one. The symbolism of the compass and turning it over, as his life has done, to find his true direction is back to Judith Grimes. Judith, really the littlest ass kicker. As crazy as it sounds, after everything last season, he's actually kind of become Uncle Negan, and he likes it. And for all his faults, I think he'd die for Judith.
Yeah.
Which I agree.
I agree, too.
For all his past BS, I really think Negan respected Rick. Rick pissed him off because Rick had everything Negan actually wanted without having to become the man Negan became. And who else knows that Daryl set up that whole final bit with Henry and Lydia down in the jail? He had to have worked that out with Henry when he had him topside. Well played. But I don't think so. He did not play that out. I think it's Daryl's way of knowing people and knowing how to read them and pretty much reading a room. So
yeah, I was gonna actually bring that up in my notes and wondered what your take on it was, but I'd heard that mentioned, I think, on the Talking Dead podcast. Someone had commented on that fact, and I went back about an hour before we recorded tonight and watched that part, and I really didn't get that. That it was saw what was happening, and he like you said, he read the room, and he read that given the way that Henry was acting, that he might be able to get, you know, something from showing a little kindness versus Daryl showing a 2x4.
Yeah. You know?
And I think, you know, that he did get that, but I don't think that they had worked it out. I think that it was just Daryl kind of realizing what was going on, and he just said, okay, well, maybe he'll get something out of her. But at the same time, though, I think he's staying close by because he also knows that Henry has a big mouth.
Well,
and he's acting like a hormonal, you know, 16-year-old or however old he is, 16, 17, whatever, and is got a bit of the, you know, little girl crazy right now. Was hoping to hook up with Enid, not realizing that she had already been spoken for.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's Lydia. I'm sure he's going to be all a flutter. He's going to get a crush on Lydia, and I hope that Lydia doesn't crush him in retaliation. So, but yeah, some good observation there, Cutter. Good to hear from you. All right. So next is Dieta. She says, "I'm still not happy about the killing of Jesus." Frowny face, fuming mad face, and blank expression face. I loved seeing Michonne and Daryl in action. That scene on the bridge was action-packed. Michonne sliced up that whisperer with the quickness. The whisperers are gross and disgusting. And she uses a couple of emojis that appear to be throwing up, which I guess he saw some throwing up, but it had nothing to do with that. So, yeah, I got a lot of questions. Do they have a camp? Where do they sleep? Do they sleep? Do they eat? What do they eat? I just think the Whisperers are living dangerously, walking around, looking like walkers. I'm just saying, isn't the reaction to walkers kill first, ask questions later? And she shrugs with two shrugs. Negan goes on a field trip to find himself. Then he realizes he might as well have stayed at Alexandria. It looks like he might be a changed man. And a couple of shrugs again. What is up with this love triangle? Rosita, girl, slow down. A couple of face palms. overall, a decent episode. I'm looking forward to where this season is going. Well, thank you, Dieta.
Yeah,
thank always you. Good to hear from you.
Glennis says, was a bit underwhelmed thinking about TWD being back on, but this episode lifted me up and gave me hope that there is still good story stuff to tell. It was a nicely placed episode. It'll be interesting how Lydia and Henry's storyline will be handled, but looks like it'll be more or less the same as Carl, Lydia, and Lydia. So, Glennis, they have a place of their own. Usually it is in a forest area from the source material. But you're alluding to the Carl and Lydia. So basically, yeah, we're looking at Henry's character role similar to what it was like in the comic. So that's an interesting thing that you stated before. But, you know, Henry is taking up that Carl role in some degree. And, yeah, we're going to see something, I'm pretty sure. Just like we were just talking about before, and Brian was talking about, he hopes that he doesn't fall for her.
Yeah, but he's probably going to.
Yeah, well, he's a kid.
Yeah. All right, so we have one more bit of feedback, and that's from Diana from Aim for the Dead podcast. Give her another shout out. She says, as has been the usual lately, the ridiculous stuff just makes you shake your head. Really? A leather jacket in your exact size on the way to the sanctuary? Really? And the thrilling stuff just sucks you right back in. Alpha's reveal was pretty effing awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate the reveal of Alpha until the last watch that I did. And then I took a little a better look at it, saw all the other alphas that were not alphas, the other whisperers that were, you know, in the forest there.
Yeah.
And then I felt it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Made more sense.
Yeah, to add to Diana's though, think about it. Look at Negan. He was really skinny. He was like losing weight left and right in that prison. So obviously he was going to find some sort of jacket to fit.
Yeah, like I said, you know, earlier, I think, you know, at most he's probably an XL, but he's probably a larger, even, well, considering he's pretty tall, he's probably not a...
No, I would say a large.
But yeah, a large jacket, it's pretty common. Now, you go into bigger sizes, yeah, that's not going to be too common. But I don't know. I always think that the scarcity of certain things, especially clothing in that we see on The Walking Dead, I would think you would be able to find clothing everywhere.
And yeah.
You'd have like an unlimited supply of both, you know, unused like clothing that is just sitting there on the shelf. And if somehow you're nowhere near a store, then there are going to be houses with clothing. So anyway, I don't think it's a big deal. I'm thinking that people that fled aren't going to take their entire wardrobes. So, you know,
or clear out the department store
or clear out the department store. Well, you know, that definitely would happen after a while, but I just, looting. I don't know. Yeah. I think that there's so the percentage of people that are still alive at this point is pretty small. So I just would think that there would be places where you could still find stuff. So anyway,
yeah.
That's my take on it, but I am also looking at this as a plus size man. So I'm just like, hell, if I was a large, I'd be able to find clothing everywhere because I certainly find it everywhere now.
Yeah.
But I can't find my own size though. So anyway, Mark, you had some other notes.
My other notes regard to the comic book. So for those who don't read the comic in any way, fast forward a little bit. So basically, this episode was drastically different from the comic based on storylines of characters and who those stories go to. Still rings on certain aspects, but twisted, since there are characters that are no longer on the show now in comparison to the comic.
Yeah.
Plus a change of where Negan is in the comic as well. They jumped a bit with that story of him leaving Alexandria because I guess they wanted to set it up because of Maggie encountering him.
Ah.
And usually that happened later on after the Whisper of War and all that and him leaving or middle of it. And yeah. that ending with Alpha, those weren't her words in the comic. All she said is, don't move.
Okay.
And this one, it was, what was it?
The trail ends here.
Yeah. So, and obviously, like I said, you know, Henry's taking over Carl's storyline and the Eugene / Father Gabriel Sadiq situation. In the comic, it was Eugene that was involved with Rosita, and it was Sadiq's child in there. But the thing is that, you know, they're giving him that segue into it to be some sort of triangle, which is really cool. I think it's interesting. So, yeah. But, they have to play with what they have from the source material. So I'm liking the fact that that stuff is still in there, but it's different. It's all over the place. So we can't tell what's going to happen.
Well, it's only some of the things that I had in my notes we've already said. I got a kick out of when Eugene said the living kind or original recipe. I thought that was funny.
I did too.
Yeah. And just, you know, we talked about this before we started recording tonight, but like I did not find myself really like looking forward to the show coming back. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I fell in love with this show because of Rick Grimes. And I said this last half season that I wasn't sure how it was going to feel. And those, first three episodes after his supposed death, mm-hmm. They were good. I didn't care for the mid-season finale too much, but the two episodes prior to that, I liked. And I think some of that was, you know, I was interested to see where they were going to go. Mm-hmm. This episode, like I said, I was really hoping that I was going to come out of this like really excited about the show. And I'm not. Like, I just find the Whispers right now. They're definitely a threat, but they're kind of weird. And it reminds me of the wolves, you know?
Yeah.
Like, certainly not in what the wolves did, but just this is seems kind of an insane thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I have to evaluate things right now. I'm still going to be podcasting on the show, but I may step back a little. That's due to scheduling and everything else. I'm going to definitely be contributing each week to the podcast, but I may take a few weeks off because I'm really tired right now.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, but I'll be back next week. And, Mark and I talked and I'm thinking I'm at least going to take, maybe two episodes off, this half season. You know, I'll work it out with Mark so he knows ahead of time to find a guest host. I want to thank Kyle, who is helping out. He's not hosting, but he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes this time out because my bandwidth right now is limited. I want to spend more time with my wife as well. So she's, you know, having to adjust to Florida. I need to spend more time. This is not my goodbye. This is just, if I'm not on the episode 1 week, don't get too worried about it. I will be back. So I'm just letting everybody know ahead of time, but you'll still contribute. I mean, or you'll still hear me. I'm going to give ratings. I have to. I'm compelled. And even when I'm not on, I will give my feedback into Mark and probably record something for it as well. So anyway, you'll hear me. you just may not hear me as much. I mean, I have to train Mark on how to use.
Yeah, that is true.
It is true. So yeah. Anyway, not leaving, just, you know, we'll see. Just want to let everybody know about that. It's not doing it for me as much as it was. And I have to admit as well, Star Trek is doing it for me. Oh my God, that show. It is so amazing. And if you're a hater, I don't want to hear from you because you're insane. But
I recommend it to people. So come on.
Yeah.
And I had to confess to Brian that, yeah, I have not been watching, but I have to catch up and I have to start watching more. So
he does. And the good thing about it is it's more than just me that's telling him that. So
exactly. There's a bunch of people. And we also have to keep in mind, too, the show is changing a bit, too. It's a new show. There is no Rick Grimes story, as we could see, because he's obviously not there. They haven't mentioned it.
Yeah.
The way it's introed now is completely different than we're so used to. You have Michonne doing the intro in the beginning of this episode.
It's so weird.
And there's storylines now that are revolving about other people. So this is a new world and a new story. So we could see that it's kind of like we had MASH.
Yeah.
And now this is after MASH.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, like I say, I'll be back next week, but I'm not going to be here every week this out. So, and as far as fear is concerned, well, we'll get into that in a minute. But I need to decide what I'm going to do with fear. So we'll see. But anyway, let's move on to the news.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Look at that, your other podcast coming into John Bernthal. So, it's nice to be able to say this, but ratings are up. We haven't been able to say that a lot in recent weeks, but The Walking Dead got a 2.00 in the 18 to 49 with 5.156 million viewers. And that is up from the mid-season finale, which got a 1.96 in the 18 to 49 with 5.089 million viewers. So it's up. It's not up a lot, but it's up, and that's good. So Talking Dead was also up a little bit. Again, the numbers are not like, these are not like, wow, it's up 3 billion viewers. No.
No, it's not drastic.
It's just up a little bit. I was worried that it was going to be way down. So the fact that it's up, I'm happy about it. Talking Dead got a 0.83 18 to 49 with 2.306 million viewers, and that is up slightly. Very slightly from a 0.81 18 to 49 and 2.294 million viewers. So what is that? 12,000 viewers, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, it's not much, but it's a, all right. So we got, I had info. I was going to mention the thing about the clearing, but about that. So going to the news, we have, first of all, I kind of switched around the news items. First of all, this is a Fear the Walking Dead thing, but if you haven't heard, Austin Emilio has been reported that he will be moving over to Fear the Walking Dead for season 5 as Dwight. and recently, there was a published picture of him on the show, and you know, he looks a little older, which I guess he would. And we don't know very much about season 5 Fear. I mean, supposedly Ruben Blades is back, and we've even heard Daniel Sharman, who we think is dead and got a hammer to the head. He's back. So,
yep.
like either it's his long lost twin cousin
with a bulging eye.
Yeah. or it's in flashback. I imagine it's probably the latter. And for that matter, Ruben Blades could be in flashback well, for all we know. But yeah, so we know those three actors are going to season five, but it appears that Austin Emilio, who's actually from Texas, is going to be on the show. So as a regular. So what hasn't been announced, and Mark, maybe you've seen it. I have not seen it. When is Fear coming back?
I have not seen it.
I am hoping. And you know what? I think they would be smart to do this, not have Fear come back right after The Walking Dead. And the reason for that is because very soon after The Walking Dead ends this season, Game of Thrones season 8 comes on. And I think that's going to steamroll over everything when it returns. So if if AMC is smart, they would hold it until after Game of Thrones is done, so that they could get, you know, more viewers that way. Because I honestly think, like, if you're going to compare the final season of Game of Thrones to Fear the Walking Dead season 5 and all the crazy stuff that was in season 4, I'm sorry, but I think Game of Thrones would win that hands down in terms of viewers. That's what my thought, and the fact that they haven't announced it yet, that makes me think even more so that they're going to hold it back to at least, you know, probably June. So that's my take. But we do have one bit of note, and I'm shocked by this, of course, absolutely shocked. But The Walking Dead has been renewed for season 10. Absolutely shocked. It was announced on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So it just published a little quick 10-second video that said, like, I think it showed a whisperer and it showed S10, you know, in October or something like that. It was pretty subtle. That was what, about a week before the season came back? And the last bit is probably something we're going to talk about for a few minutes anyway. And that is that Variety and I think the Hollywood Reporter, various trade papers are reporting. Their sources say that Danai Gurira is going to be leaving the show during season 10. Now, it's not saying that she's going to be killed off, but it sounds like she's going to be doing something similar to what Andrew Lincoln did. And I've even heard about the possibility of her coming back to do the Walking Dead movies.
Correct.
So before we get into our own thoughts about this, we do have something that I moved from the what sauce into this because she talked about it directly. And that was something Glenn has had. She said she's worried about TWD though. Yes, we have season 10, but losing Michonne, the McFarlane color 7-inch figures are now not being issued. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to get a Maggie and a new Rick and Negan. Skybound Megabox has been canceled, so no more quarterly issues and no Walker limited edition TWD season 8 Blu-ray, which we got for TWD seasons 1-7 from McFarlane either. Is it the end of TWD after season 10?
That's not true. That's impossible.
Wow, second time I've used that this week.
Yeah. I actually have the first 7 limited edition Blu-ray box sets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have them all, including the first one that first came out. It came with a mask.
McFarlane? Yeah. I did not realize.
No, it's not from McFarlane, okay. But it was a limited edition Blu-ray.
Okay.
So AMC issued those out, and they were working with McFarlane. So it was from season two to season seven that they actually issued these. Yeah. And I was waiting for a long time, and I'm biting at the bit, because that was my birthday gift to myself. And they announced that they were not doing them anymore.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing.
And I used to see the figures in Walgreens. Yeah, and you know, Mark, that back in the summer there, I picked up a Madison figure for Fear on Markdown.
I got those too.
Yeah, but I didn't realize at the time, but they have totally discontinued all Walking Dead from Walgreens. I've seen, like, I'm still seeing like the Funko Pops and stuff like that,
yeah,
out there. But the amount of merchandise that I used to see, you know, in the Targets and the Walmarts, yeah, and stuff like that, it's just not there anymore. And
it's not as vibrant as it used to be. And yeah, the Funko Pops will still always be there in some way, shape, or form. I think they are abandoning a lot of that sort of marketing.
Yeah.
And they're moving on to other.
Like, it's worth saying, though, that the ratings for the show are still the top as far as cable. And I know that even with broadcast media, you know, the networks, it's still doing well in terms of the 18 to 49 demographic. It'll never do top, like, viewer numbers because of the fact that, you know, kids don't generally watch the show, although some do. And, you know, I just trying to say, though, that the cable numbers and in terms of the 18 to 49 demographic still has high ratings. And I did a comparison just to see, you know, since I podcast on both shows, how are Google search statistics for The Walking Dead compared to Star Trek? How do they compare? And The Walking Dead beats it hands down. And I know paired analytics, which measures social media activity, again, The Walking Dead doing way better than Star Trek Discovery is. So in terms of that, but then again, I don't think the show is as popular in the U.S. as it is around the world, because it's on Netflix everywhere but U.S. and Canada, you know. So I think that's part of it. But anyway, I digress. It's not as popular as it was. The show lost, it lost roughly two-thirds of its viewers between season 5 and now. You know, season 6, it didn't lose too much, lost a little bit. Season 7, it lost more, but not nearly as much. But season 8, and especially this season, I think it's just the reality of things. We know as well, you know, Walker Stalker Con, for example, I know they've canceled a few shows recently. And I know one they canceled, but then they brought it back. So Phoenix, they had canceled Phoenix, is happening later in the year or something. But they had canceled, I think, Portland outright. So that tells me that the show, and you just recently went to the New Jersey one, and crowds there, how were they?
New York, New Jersey is always crowded. It was very unorganized, in my opinion. I've had that issue with the past two, this one and the last one before. And
in New Jersey?
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't as crowded as the very first one I went to, which would be about 5 years ago. And I'm looking at it going, it seems to be dwindling a little bit. I heard the same thing about Atlanta. When I went to Atlanta, somebody told us while we were there, a whole group of us, that, oh, this used to be far worse. So I don't know if it had anything to do with that. Plus, you'll see a lot of things. They're discounting tickets a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to grasp more, because I get like 3 or 4 emails a day right now from Walker Stalker Con or FanFest saying, oh, this is the last time you'll get a 50% off, or buy one, get three free or something like that. So I don't know if they're grasping at straws or fan base has been dwindling, but who knows? I'm sure a lot of those people are going to be like me, that they'll continue to go as long as it's there to the con, or watch the show as it is because you enjoy it. It's probably not in the prime as it was before, but you still enjoy watching the show.
Right.
So they'll still have those people that will still watch it, enjoy it, and appreciate it for what they're doing.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're an example of this, and, you know, I haven't been fortunate enough to actually go to a Walker Stalker Con where I know a bunch of people at. I went to the Orlando one, and I only knew Jason from the Walking Dead cast and Lizzie from Brains Gone Bad. They were the only two that I knew there. So, mind you, it was great seeing both of them, but, you know, you went to Atlanta and you met up with tons of people.
Yeah, there was 12 or 13 of us. And yeah. And then on top of I met Allie out there too, Allie Feike. And then I had Kat, Steve, and Paik stay here with me. And we all met a bunch of people down in New York, New Jersey too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, you know, I think those relationships are going to continue, and you know, they'll continue around whether Walker Stalker Con continues or some other con.
But
the show is changing. It's like I said when it was announced, I think that their AMC's desire to expand the universe to me comes a couple of years too late. I think that they should have done it
earlier. Definitely.
Than they did.
They could have pulled the trigger right around, I would say, season four.
Yeah, and they did with Fear, but I think that they botched that. The first season especially wasn't as strong as it should have been.
It wasn't what people were expecting.
Especially it had been touted as we're going to see the start of the apocalypse, and they skirted around that. You know, we saw some of it, but we didn't see any near what we thought we were. You know, but like I was expressing this the other day to Mark and Kyle chatting. And like one thing I will say that's positive about this fandom is that it is largely positive and is like everyone is supportive. Everyone is good people around it. So I think people will still gravitate towards it. And I compare this to, say, Star Trek fandom, and there is a whole, like, yes, there's a lot of positive going on and positivity, you know, around this show and all that stuff, but there is a toxic element that I do not see in the Walking Dead universe. There are people who have YouTube channels that their sole purpose is to try to get Star Trek Discovery canceled, and I don't understand that.
I think it's stupid.
It is stupid. It's like, if you love Star Trek so much, why are you trying to get it killed? But anyway, of course.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Yes, we will get back to The Walking Dead. My point being that I think that the community is great. I think the show, it's still good. But like I said earlier, I needed this one to really wow me. I'm going to keep going with this podcast. I want to get to 100 episodes. I have to admit that. I want to get to 100. It's been so long. But so that said, but I step back. A lot of it's personal reasons, but a lot of it has. It's the show isn't doing it for me quite as much as it used to. I'm not at the point where I want to stop, but I'm at the point where I have to sleep. and something needs to give. And so that's why I will not be on every episode this. Anyway, okay. Why don't you tell enough of that. Let's tell people how to interact with us. Mark?
Well, we want to encourage everybody, all of you lovely listeners, to follow us on Twitter. You could find us at Walking Dead GSM on Twitter. And to submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which would be facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, which would be walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again. So you can send a text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget, which you could send lovely audio just like Steve Brown does.
Yes.
Who is from Panels to Pixels, mind you.
Yes, he is.
Or call us.
And we do not bribe him to send in his.
Nah, you could catch him on a ton of other podcasts sending in a lot of feedback. So
yes, he's got the bug, the feedback.
Yes, he
bug.
Does. He loves talking. And he loves his shows.
Yes, he does.
And we all love him.
Yes, we do. He's a great guy.
So you could also call us 304-837-2278. You can leave a voicemail there.
So our deadline is going to be changing for this week. This also has to do with the fact of not killing me. So it actually makes more sense for us to do our episodes this half season on Wednesday nights instead of Tuesday nights. So you will get an extra day to submit your feedback every week. That will actually shouldn't make a big difference in terms of you getting the episode back, because we weren't going to be available Wednesday to edit. And Kyle will be handling the editing for most episodes, I think. So it shouldn't matter that we're a day later. You'll still get the episode around the same time. Just wanted to let you know. But you get more feedback that way. And so you have – just don't leave it till the end. It's never good, because then we got to collect everything. And just – you get an extra day. Just don't leave it till 5:59 on Wednesday, okay? Just don't do that. But – anyway, so the next deadline for next week is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And I'll finish this off and say the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in the podcast client of your choice. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple to find all of the podcasts in the Golden Spiral Media Network. You can go there and you can help us out by giving us a rating or review there, or like some other podcast clients like Stitcher. And Star Trek Discovery got its first ever Stitcher rating. And I don't think we've gotten any for The Walking Dead Talk Through. So if you watch us or you listen to us on Stitcher, give us a rating or review there. Podcast Republic also is another one that allows ratings and reviews. So if your podcast client allows you to give a rating or review, please give us one. I would really appreciate it. So would Mark, and so would Kyle. And to find other ways to support the network, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And I've been talking about this a lot. But the Star Trek Discovery podcast, we had an insane episode for episode 3 of season 2, which was not last week, but the week before. We did a 3-hour, 5-minute raw recording. And this is part of the reason why I need to step back. It's because that podcast, as much as I love it, is taking a lot of time to do. And that is because we're getting so much feedback for that show. There's so much to talk about that it's taking forever to get the podcast out. So that's another reason. But it's so good, man. And I'm not just talking about the show. Ruthie and I talking about the show, we've been amazing. It's just the episodes have been so good. And even last week we had Wes Huntington guest host for us because Ruth was out sick. But it's been great. So if you watch Star Trek Discovery, please find us at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and subscribe to us. Just look for Star Trek Discovery and you will find us in whatever podcast client you use. It's just simply, you'll just look for the one that says Golden Spiral Media at the bottom, but simply the Star Trek Discovery Podcast. That's us. And you can also join our Facebook group for that. That's at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. It sounds like I'm really into that show.
I think you are.
Can't help it, man. It's great.
It is.
How would you know?
I've seen a few episodes. Come on.
I know. I'm going to just keep harping on that until you catch up.
Yeah, I'm going to do a full watch through, and I'm going to show up one day and send a ton of messages.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
Anyway. I love the show. What are you doing to me? All right. If you guys want to listen to me, I actually do a podcast, too.
I know.
It's called Panels to Pixels, and you can find us on the Next Level Radio Network. There you can actually hear Steve Brown, who also was a guest on Star Trek Discovery Podcast.
Yes, he was. Not that long ago.
And he loves doing it. So you could hear me and Steve talk about stuff like Marvel movies and the new Netflix shows, obviously, that are coming out. We're right now in the middle of Punisher Season 2. We'll be reviewing more movies because we've been watching movies now. And we're doing our quick reviews. And after that, we'll probably jump into Jessica Jones Season 3 once that airs.
Now, a question that I have for you. What are you going to do with – it seems like the Netflix shows are all being canceled. So are you going to go back and watch the ones that you – review the ones that you haven't reviewed yet or
– Yeah, we could actually easily do that. There's a ton of other product that's out there that nobody's ever done, which I could actually go back to the 1970s Doctor Strange movie if I wanted to, or go to the original Nick Hammond Spider-Man movies that were out on TV back in the day. There's a ton of different things we could do. It reviews some of the actual cartoons themselves.
You could do the Incredible Hulk.
That as well.
Bill Bixby.
Yes. And or laugh at the Ang Lee version of the movie. Yeah. There's so much out there, and movies are movies, and we don't really just cater to Marvel. We actually did a Dread 2012 review as well recently. Ah. So you could go back and listen to that and listen to us like rave about that in comparison to the original Stallone Judge Dredd that we got years ago in the 90s. So there's a ton of different product that we could actually discuss. So,
yeah, I was wondering about that. But, like, we know that there'll be more, especially with this new Disney Plus coming up.
Oh, yes.
So, and I've heard that it's possible they may bring some of those Defenders shows to Hulu. I saw an article about that today.
Yes, I saw that too as well.
Yeah.
They're doing a Howard the Duck animated movie or show, and Kevin Smith is producing and writing for it now. So that's a plus on that.
I just have to say,
What?
Yeah. At least it's not the Lucas-produced one that came out, the movie that came out in the 80s.
You know, that should have been an indication.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was a good indicator of the wouldn't be so great. Okay, well, anyway, next episode, season 9, episode 10, which is titled Omega. We don't know who it's written or directed by, but the description is a captive or a refugee. A new arrival at the hilltop opens up about the leader of a group of mask-wearing savages. A search party sets out on a daring mission to find two missing friends. Of course.
It's a trap!
All right, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.